Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Declare Victory. My name is Deborah, a.k.a. Bubbly, and I am your hostess for this morning. We are happy to have you here with us, and we know that you're going to be blessed. There aren't any prayer requests on the app this morning, but there was a spoken request from Kendra for Traveling Grace. She said she's 112 miles into Sacramento, so we ask God to just keep his hand and of grace over her as she travels this way. The order of the calls is follows. Scriptures will be read by Sister Tracy. Declaration will be by Moni. Praying first will be Carol, and praying second and closing us out will be Brother Eric. I will repeat that order. Scripture by Sister Tracy. Declaration by Moni. Praying first will be Sister Carol, and closing us out will be Brother Eric. If you haven't already done so, please remember to mute your line by using your standard mute feature. Be blessed as I pass the call to Sister Tracy.
Good morning, everyone. I will be reading from Psalms 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. May the Lord add his blessings upon this reading, and may we be hearers and doers of his word as I now pass the call.
Good morning, everyone. It's Moni. Very, very happy to be able to be speaking on the call today. It was definitely time. The inspiration for my declaration today came through a dream. See, God allows a dream to happen sometimes so that it can affect, it can generate an effect. It can trigger an action. For me, he had been talking to me for a while about the same thing, and so he decided to allow a dream to come through to talk to me about the topic that I'm going to share with you today. We see dreams coming to people several times in the Bible, and I don't want to communicate that my dream was too light. I don't want to communicate it too lightly because to me it was a very serious and felt very real. It was actually very scary and heart-wrenching, so to say, about my daughter's safety and how God needed me to pray more and to pray more seriously for her, to really go in deep and understand the severity of praying for your child. And he wanted me to share this message with you guys all on the phone and whoever ends up hearing this call, because this call later, because it's meant for you for a reason to hear this today, because he needs us to get serious about praying for our children and the children around us in our circle. Now, I made a post this week on Facebook in the room to see all the children were responsible for, to pray for, and there were a lot. There were a lot of names there. And God knew that this would motivate me to see that and to be able to share today and to encourage someone today and to remind someone today what he wants you to hear. So the title... The title of my message, or the title of my declaration today is The Power You Have to Pray for Your Children. The Power You Have to Pray for Your Children. The truth about having children is that you just do not know, nor do we have control, whether our kids will choose the narrow gate that leads to life, as it's said in Matthew 7:14, or the wide gate that leads to destruction. If we haven't had other experiences in life, that have humbled us and shown us how dependent on God we are, then parenting absolutely will. Understanding our desperate need to depend on God is the good news. So once we give up our naive idea that we parents can dictate the choices our children will make and the spiritual gate that they will walk through, whether it be the narrow one or the wide one, then we are ready to slip on the knee pads and get curious about prayer, about praying for them. Now, the scripture to focus on primarily comes from 1 Chronicles 29:19. 1 Chronicles 29:19. And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for which I have made provision. What I want you to concentrate on here is that David asked for Solomon to have a perfect heart. Okay? That's what he asked for. Stop and think for a moment. If you only had one last chance to pray for your child, what would you pray for? Would you pray for maybe a long life, a healthy life? Maybe you would pray that they would be blessed with financial success. Would it be that they remain happy throughout their days? David had come to the end of his days, and we have read his last recorded prayer for his son, Solomon. However, David did not pray for Solomon to have a great kingdom, good health, abundance of riches, or a happy life. Okay. Isn't it fitting that a man after God's own heart prayed that his son should have a perfect heart? David is praying for a complete heart, a fully restored heart, and a heart at peace. God wants Solomon's heart to be fixed on God and complete in him. David is also praying on Solomon's name here. Okay? He's playing on Solomon's name here, because Solomon's name is related linguistically to the word perfect. Okay? I believe David is praying that Solomon live up to his namesake. David had blood on his hands, right? Which prevented him from fulfilling his desires for God. David was praying that Solomon wouldn't make the same mistakes. Now, how many of us can relate to that? How many of us do not want our kids to make the same mistakes that we made? Think about that for a minute. Now, notice the distinction David makes between keeping God's word and doing it. David wasn't just praying that Solomon would live right, but that he treasured the word of God. The picture is that Solomon would put God's word in a protected place in his life and hedge it about. David knew that if Solomon hid the word of God in his heart, that it would ensure his heart would be perfect. He knew that Solomon would never perform it until he had esteemed it. David desired that Solomon know God and live for him. The final thing that we find David praying for is that Solomon would stay in the will of God. God had allowed David to set in motion the planning and provisioning of the temple. God had told David that his son would build it. David prays that Solomon does not stray from the will of God and remain on the path that God had laid out for him. David knew God's plans were right and perfect. David trusted God's plans were far greater than his own. Therefore, David petitioned that Solomon would do that which God would have him do. You guys, we have to pray like David did. God is trusting us. God needs our prayers. He needs them. Our children need our prayers. Our children's children need our prayers. Our children were not just given to us to raise and release to the world. We have the responsibility to God because we belong to God. And God gave us our children in our lives for a reason. Nothing is coincidental with God. We have to be praying regularly for our children. And we can't just pray about other things and forget to really dive in deep for our kids or spend only 2 minutes on the subject and spend most of our time praying for our job or praying for this bill or praying for that bill or praying for this enemy and praying for that. We have to really dive in and understand that the children are our future. They really are, and the children around us, God knew how many we could handle. God knew that this person needed 4 in their circle, and God knew that this person needed 20 in their circle. What a privilege that is for God to trust us with 20 children in our circle around us. That means He trusts us to pray for each of those 20 people that are in our circle. He trusts us that much. Don't let him down, folks. So what can we do? How can we do that? Well, we can pray regularly. Bring every concern, dream, and desire about your child to God in fervent, persistent prayer. Now, this means don't repeat the same thing as God heard us once. Right? Luke 18:1-8, it contains a parable of a persistent widow and an unjust judge. The verse says, "And will not God bring about justice for his chosen one who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly." That's another promise right there. That is a promise. Hold on to that one. I think that verse was for parents. Another thing we can do is pray extensively before your child hits adolescence. For the little ones, pray for his peer group, that he will have like a strong Christian buddy for his teenage years. Ask God to protect your child daily from others who would be an evil influence. And consider asking God to help you spot your child doing things right so that you can encourage them in making right choices. See, because sometimes our children only get attention when they do the wrong things. So be mindful of when they do the right things and give them praise for that. It's really important that you understand that that we need to pray for their peer group, because me personally, a lot of the life that I entered into when I was about 13 years old was a result of following my peers. I followed them. I wanted to be like them. My hair came out like them. We were all hair bearers. And I didn't become a hair bearer on my own. I became it because I saw my peers doing it. I didn't buy the shoes that I wore because I wanted to. I wanted to copy the rest of the girls. And I wanted to do everything that they were doing because I wanted to fit in. And I ended up staying on that path for 17 years, really, of something that I really would have wished that I didn't go through. But I'm here today living and able to share my story. So it's very important that you pray for the children in your circle, pray for their peers, because the peer groups are very, very very influential. Another thing is to pray defensively. On more and more occasions, we sought the Lord's help in removing a friend of questionable character from our child's life. And from time to time, we would feel that one of our sons might be deceiving us, but we could never really know for sure. So in those situations, we ask God to help us to catch him. He's doing something wrong to reveal it to us. Remember, you guys, the enemy is working to devour our children, even though it may not look like it. Even though you think, oh, well, they're in their room and they're being quiet, they're being good. Just remember what I'm saying right now, that the enemy is working to devour our children, even though it may not look like it. Okay? So be proactive. And not just reactive to the matters of our children. Be proactive. Don't just wait for something to happen and then you drop to your knees. Okay, now I'm going to get serious. Do it before it happens. And that's a lot of what my dream was. I could hear and feel the Lord saying that he needs us to be proactive and not just reactive to the matters of our children and the children that we're entrusted with. Another thing we can do is to pray intensely. Matthew 16:18-17, it says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. For they disfigure their faces and show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, pour oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. That's another promise. He will reward you when you fast. Okay, that's a promise. I know a couple who would set aside each Monday to fast from the morning to night time to pray for their daughter who was struggling in a lot of different areas. Commit to fasting and prayer for your children. God specifically created and fashioned fasting for a reason. Fasting is a way to call down the powers of heaven. Let me say that again. Okay, fasting is a way to call down the powers of heaven. It's a principle of prayer. And you guys, I know you already know this, but remember I said I might just be reminding you, just giving you a nice friendly reminder, okay? But it's a principle of prayer, and it changes lives. Isaiah 58:6 says, Is not this kind of fasting I have chosen to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, my God. Thank you, Lord. See, our Father will free us from the bands of wickedness. He will lift our heavy burden, and he will let the oppressed go free. Isn't that just wonderful? Isn't it just wonderful? In fact, he promises to empower us to break that yoke. Break it. God, what an enabling promise to have the power to break every yoke. Huh, it's crazy. It's just crazy. Thank you, God, for that. But also, pray when God brings a child to your mind. You might be doing something through your day, and a child pops into your mind, and you're just too busy to realize, but he's actually popping into your mind for a reason. Because it may be at that, pardon me, it may be at that very moment that your child is that child is facing some kind of circumstance of that's really critical, very important. God might do this in the middle of the night, and he'll get you up to pray. And you have to ask the Lord for clarity and start to pray. You might be like way tired and like you just don't want to get out of bed and it's too cold and I don't think so, God. I'll just, you know, no, you need to really show your faithfulness. Get up, get on your knees and pray for that child because God's trusting you. I heard a story, actually read a story, of two parents that felt a strong and sudden need one night to pray for their daughter. And at that very time, at that very moment, they slipped out of bed and on their knees, a police car was driving by their daughter's car on this remote mountain where she and her girlfriends had gone to look up, to look at the lights or something on the city and talk. And they didn't know that there was a prisoner hiding underneath the car. And they were praying. They were at home praying. And so luckily, thank God, but the police got that, that they apprehended him. And the girls were able to drive off unharmed. But to see how these things can just happen at the same time. And another thing we can do is pray with your child. It's easy for prayer to just be an exclusive kind of dialogue. It's just me and God. You know, me and God here. I'm going to work. And me and God, I'm in the shower. You know, me and God, I got some free time. I'm going to go grocery shopping. And it's just me and God. But why don't you do what I've done, maybe? Me and my oldest son, Moses, we became prayer partners. And try doing that with one of the children that you're entrusted with. No. Kneel together with the children in your life and pray for their struggles and challenges together with them so that they understand that you care about them. Don't just pray from afar, from down the street, from another city. Pray. Go to pray with them. You know, it's so much harder to grab an adult and pull them into the, to you know, pull them into, to the Lord. It's easier to pull a child to the Lord and show them that you want to pray with them. Hey, how are you doing at school? What's going on? You know, they'll talk to you. They'll talk to you when you give someone the opportunity, when you give someone the mic. They'll say something. And that's the perfect time. It's a perfect time for you to pray with them. And bring them to the Lord. Be both of them at the same time. Right now, every morning that I drive my daughter to school, I pray with her. I mention everything that she might be going through, and I try to cover it. And I know she's listening to me. That's like the best time. I'm covering her school and her enemies and her friends and all four corners of the area of her high school and the teachers and their lessons and everything with her. Things that I know deep down inside that she struggles with, but that she witnesses every day. So I'm bringing up those things ahead of time. And she says amen with me. I'm teaching her how to be a prayer warrior. That's what I'm doing. She's 15 years old. Nobody did that for me. Nobody did that for me. But you know, and you know something else that I'm doing while I'm praying with her, I'm also showing the enemy that I'm covering her under God's umbrella. So it's really important that we pray with them. Another thing would be, you know, praying as a couple, the best thing to do is pray with your spouse if you're married. This will protect your marriage. This will not only protect your marriage, This will protect your marriage and your children at the same time. So we're streamlining here. You see how we're doing? We're streamlining things, you know? Having this communion together with God is great, because it's not just one parent's responsibility to pray for the children. You have to have both parents when possible, to pray together for the child. And remember, in a proactive way, not a reactive way. Pray before something happens so that it doesn't happen. Now, even if your children make it to young adulthood, don't be tempted to coast and to the finish line. Your job's not done. When they turn 18, when they turn 21, when they've done moved out of the house, when they're gone, and they've gotten married, and they're having children of their own, they're on their own, you done did your job, and that's it. No. God didn't say that He gave us our children just until they're 18, and that's it, let them go. They're on their own. Why? No, He didn't. We need to continue to pray more than ever for our children, even after their adolescent years. You know, God wants the same thing for us, for you and your child. Good things. He wants good things for us. Talk to God. James 5:7 tells us the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Stay faithful in prayer for them, no matter what age they are. I always tell my sons, I don't care if I'm 90 years old, I'm still going to be your mother, and I'm still going to pray for you, and you're still going to listen to me. I don't care if I'm 90 years old. That's what I tell them. They get scared and they listen to me. Thank God. Now, the last thing that I want to share with you today to do is something that you could do is prophesy when praying for your children. Remember that God told Ezekiel to speak to the dry bones and prophesy. He empowered him, and He is there to empower us to do the same for our children in prayer. You guys, the same power that rose Jesus from the grave that lives in us, activate it and speak life into your child. I prayed for my kids from the time that they were very, very small. I think I started like maybe, and I wasn't even a Christian, and I was praying for them. Wow. I was born and raised Catholic, and I just had this thing where, okay, maybe I should pray for my kids. I remember now. So, okay, come here. You know, so I called them both over. I only had my two older boys at that time. And I would lay hands on them, and I would start to just say, I didn't even really know what I was doing. But God knew what I was doing. I would put my hands over their head, and I would prophesy over them. I'd say, you're going to have a successful life, and I'm praying for your wife right now, and you're going to have safety, and she's going to have safety. And I did that all the way up until they turned 18 and left the military. Both of them left the military. And I would pray for them every night. I would do the sign of the cross, you know, like the Catholics do, and they learned that. They would come to me, Mom, I'm going to bed. Pray for me. Mom, bless me, I'm going to bed. Mom, bless me, I'm going to bed. For years, I did that for them. And today, one's 27 and one's 22, and they still come to me. Mom, pray for me. Well, it's in a different way, but like the oldest one will say, Mom, will you pray for me? You know, I'm dealing with this and that. And then the other one, when he comes home from the Marines on the weekend, so he'll say, you know, I'm really struggling and I just need you to pray for me. You see what happened? Train the child up in the way that they should go, and they will never depart. Always come back. God's word don't come back void, you guys. The best thing that you can do for your child is pray like David. Understand what Matthew, Luke, Isaiah, and James were saying to you today. Prophesy like Ezekiel. and believe in God and his promises for the children that he has entrusted in you to pray for. God is trusting you. He needs you to pray for the children around you. Now, be proactive, not reactive. I thank you for listening to me today, and I hope that you will gather some thoughts and share with me during our discussion after the final prayer. Thank you, and I now pass the call.
Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus on this morning, Lord God. We thank you so much for today. We thank you for having kept us, Father God, in our home safe, free from hurt, harm, and danger. We praise your holy name on this morning, Father God. We ask in the name of Jesus that you would just continue to watch over each and every one of us, Lord Jesus, each and every one of us on the Declare Victory line and all of those, Lord God, who have an extension to us, God. We thank you so much, Father God, for the wonderful, wonderful declaration that Moni has shared with us this morning about prayer and all the different ways that we should pray, Lord God, and that we should pray for our children and how we should pray offensively and intimidatively. And, Lord God, we just thank you for that, because there is nothing greater, nothing greater than prayer. I ask that you continue, Lord God, to look over Moni's life and bless her indeed in the name of Jesus. Father God, I ask that you would forgive each and every one of us from our sins, anything we may have done, God, that we didn't know was a sin, anything of omission and commission. Lord, we ask that you forgive us and have us to do it no more. We want to lift up each and every person who has had a prayer request, and I believe the only one was Kedra on her way on the freeway some miles, I think a little bit over 100 miles away from Sacramento. We ask, Father God, that you would give her traveling mercy and grace. And anyone else that is on the road on this morning, God, we ask that you place your hand of protection upon them and allow them to get to and fro to their destinations, excuse me, with no incident in the name of Jesus. We lift up each and every one of you, each and every person on the Declare Victory line. We thank you, Father God, for Dion. We ask that you continue to bless and watch over her family, keeping each and every one of them safe, sound, and covered in the name of Jesus. And God, we thank you for her vision. We thank you for choosing her, Lord God, to share the vision that she has and is now now something that we all are able to call into, something that we are all able to call into and connect and pray and just pray down heaven. We thank you, Father God, for blessing each and every person in the DD family with their needs and of good health. We pray for those, Lord God, that are dealing with illness, them and all of their family members that may be dealing with illness, the saved and the unsaved. We ask, Father God, that you would breathe upon those that are saved and unsaved, and even those that are suffering with illness of any kind. We lift up and pray for those that are dealing with illness all across the world, and we ask, Father God, that you would be their healer. We know that you are Jehovah Rapha, the one that healeth thee, and we thank you, Father God, for healing them. We speak and declare healing in the name of Jesus. We're asking on this morning that you continue to bless and cover our loved ones, our children, Lord God, the young adults, our older children, Heavenly Father. We ask that you would bless them. We ask, Father God, that when we come to you and we entrust the care of them and you, God, we know that you are going to cover them, that you are going to keep them, that you are going to bless them as they walk, as they proceed, as they go each and every place in their life, Lord God, whether it be college, whether it be to a job. We pray for peace on jobs for each and every person that has a job. We pray for those, Lord God, that are looking for jobs on this morning. We want to lift up each and every one of our coworkers, and Lord, we pray for their salvation if they aren't saved. And then, God, for the ones that are saved, we ask that you would bless them, that you would bless them indeed, Father God, that you would have them do what you have called them to do, which is be an ambassador for Christ, to share the gospel, to walk in the light of the Lord, and just to be that servant that you have called them to be. We thank you, Father God, for those bosses on those jobs, and we pray for them. We pray for their safety. We pray for their mindset as far as their time management and the way that they deal with their coworkers. And we ask that there be no favoritism, that they would be fair in all of their decisions, and just allow there to be peace on jobs. And God, we know you can do it. We know that you can do, according to Ephesians 3:20, exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask to think. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Father God, for continuing to watch over our neighbors, every one of our neighbors in neighboring countries, in neighboring states, our neighbors, Lord God, to the left and the right of us, our neighbors from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Lord God, we're praying for our country. We're praying for the nation. We're praying for those neighbors, praying for their salvation, praying for their safety, God, and praying that you would just keep them covered, that you would watch over them, that you would save them in the name of Jesus. Father God, we're lifting up each and every one of our family members, and we're praying for their safety, praying for their salvation, just praying, Lord God, that you would cover them. Lord, we are praying intentively, Lord God, just as my sister Moni said, and we're praying with purpose, Lord God. We expect in the name of Jesus something to happen on behalf of our family members, on behalf of the unsaved family members, on behalf of, Lord God, those that are saved, that are standing in the need of prayer, Lord God. Perhaps there is something that they may be dealing with, Father God. We thank you because we know, according to your word, that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Hence, one of the reasons, Heavenly Father, we come to you every morning calling out your wonderful and precious name as a group, as a family, Lord God, because we know the effectiveness of it. We thank you, Father God, for just continuing to watch over all of our friends. Watch over them, keep them and cover them and save them, Father God, if they are unsafe. And God, we thank you for our frenemies, those who appear to be friends, Lord God, but deep down inside they are. God, we pray for their hearts, and we most definitely pray for their salvation. And we're praying for our enemies, God. You said in the word that we are to pray for our enemies and love them. And Lord Jesus, we pray and ask that you would instill that love in our hearts for our enemies and for those that continue to harm us and those that continue to despitefully use us, Lord God, and persecute us. We lift up their names, each and every one of them individually, and ask, Lord, that you would just cover them, that you would save them, that you would keep them safe and sound from hurt, harm, or danger, because the word also says, touch not my anointed. We thank you, Father God, for everything that you have given us. We thank you for just looking over us on this beautiful Saturday, keeping us safe and sound. We ask that you just continue to use us, Lord God, each and every one of us, according to your glory, and that we would go into the world and preach the gospel according to Matthew 28:19-20. We bless you, Jesus, for your authority and for all the love and understanding and the peace that you have given us in this life. We thank you, Father, for the walk. We praise you for your comforting nature and for the things that you continue to bestow upon us. We thank you for the provisions that you give us, each and every one of them. We ask, Father God, that you would continue to be our present help in the time of trouble, and not only in the time of trouble, Lord God, but just to be with us and to walk with us in every situation, if in every incident, and in everything we encounter. We thank you, Father God, for protecting us for dangers unseen when we are going about our way and doing things on a daily basis. On this Saturday, we ask that you would just watch over us, God, that you would just cover us intentively in a way, Lord God, that like no other, because you are the Creator. You are our Father, and you can do all things. We thank you, oh God, for just loving us and for keeping us and for saving us. We thank you, Father God, for it. We lift up your holy name because you are God and you are God all by yourself. We thank you for your authority, for your power, for your gifts that you give to each and every one of us, Father God. We thank you, we praise you, we love you, and we adore you for continuing to watch over our country and state and to keep us, Lord God, from hurt, harm, or danger. In the precious name of Jesus, I praise you, I thank you, love you, and adore you. In Jesus' name I pray as I pass the call.
Amen.
Hello?
Thank you, Lord. I thank you. Thank you for today, Lord. As we come together in a special place, Lord, and on this holy day, this day we call Sabbath, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the creation of all things, Lord. We acknowledge you on this day as Lord of Lords, King of Kings. We lift your name up. We magnify your name on high. In this very special place, Lord, We thank you, Lord, for the ability to come together here on Declare Victory, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you bless each and every person on the line right now. As we come together, Lord, in adoration and praise and worship and thankfulness, Lord, I thank you for the prayer word that has gone before me, Lord. I thank you for that wonderful declaration, Lord, that reminds us, Lord, to raise our children. And not to raise our children, but to pray for our children, Lord, and to let our children see us as living examples, Lord, on our knees, in your word, in your sanctuary, praying for them, guiding for them, and learning for them, Lord. I thank you today, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for sparing my life, Lord, for getting us through another week. I thank you, Jesus, Lord, because of the grace and the mercy, Lord, that you have covered with us these last 7 days, Lord. To where the enemy has sought to take us now, Lord, and that demonic activity, Lord, has come against us, Lord, in ways we probably won't even be aware of until we see you face to face. But you saw fit, Lord, today to breathe the breath of life into us, Lord, and to give us another day, another purpose, Lord, another assignment, Lord. And for this, Lord, we thank you. I thank you, Lord, because you are not a God, Lord, who is a distant God, Lord, who just looks upon us with a blind eye, Lord, but that you, though you sit high, Lord, you look low. And though you have all power, Lord, that you've made everything, Lord, that you incline your ears, Lord, to the entreaties, Lord, and to the petitions of your people, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord, because you're not a distant God, Lord, but that you're as close as our next heartbeat, Lord, that you are as close to us, Lord, as our next thought, our next prayer, Lord, and that you don't leave us, Lord, because your word says you never leave us nor forsake us, Lord. And for that, Lord, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your blood today, Lord. I thank you for the sacrifice that you loved us so much, Lord, that even when our spiritual parents, Adam and Eve, Lord, sinned, that you could not bear the thought of losing us. That you, Lord, hung on the cross, Lord. You became one of us. And that you died, Lord, and that each drop of blood, Lord, redeemed us, Lord, and cleanses us, Lord, and empowers us, Lord. That, Lord, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you've left with us, the Paraclete. Hold you forth after convicts and converts us, Lord. Keeps us from the power of sin and leads us through the Father, through your Son, Christ. I thank you, Lord. On today, Lord, I lift up, Lord, each and every one of us, Lord. I pray for the homeless today, Lord. We slept underneath an open sky, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that you give us the resources, Lord, and the compassion, Lord, to minister to them. Lord, I lift up our pastors today, Lord, our youth leaders, Lord, our ministry leaders, Lord, our congregations and our churches today, Lord. Lord, I lift up, Lord, our politicians, Lord, on the state level, Lord, on the city level, Lord. Lord, I lift up Trump today, Lord. Ask, Lord, that you touch his mind, Lord, that you touch his heart, Lord. We come against the foolishness, Lord, and the selfishness of this man, and knowing that you are God, would do anything but fail, Lord. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you begin to transform him, Lord, not just only into a leader, Lord, but into a man of God, Lord. They can lead his nation, Lord, back in the heights of which it was, Lord. And so, Lord, as I thank you today, Lord, I invite each and every one of us, Lord, to open our mouths, Lord, and to join you in collective prayer, Lord, giving you thanks, Lord, and praising you, Lord, for you are God, Lord, and you are God above all, Lord, and that your holiness and righteousness are perfect today, Lord.
Oh, yes, Father God, you are worthy, God.
Thank
you, God.
Yes,
you are God, Lord.
For the power of prayer, Lord.
We thank you, Lord.
We pray for our children, Lord God. Strategically, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for this day, Lord God. This is the day you made, God. And we will rejoice and be glad and oh, God, you are creating, Lord God. Because you are high and lifted.
Again to declare victory. My name is Deborah, a.k.a. Bubbly, and I am your hostess this morning. I hope you have been blessed by the call. Were there any first-time visitors that did not get a chance to say hello and would like to do so, this is your opportunity. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Bubbly. Good morning, family, Misty.
Good morning, Miss.
Good morning,
Sister Soldier. If you aren't getting ready to speak, could you please re-mute your line?
Good morning, Miss
Barbara.
Hey, good morning, Sister Barb. Happy Saturday.
Thank you.
Someone please mute their line. Someone shall be in a car.
Yeah, sounds like they're driving.
Yes, indeed. It may not be aware. Well, Lord have your way. So did any victors join the call late and did not get a chance to say hello? This is your opportunity also to say good morning. Good morning and happy Saturday.
Good morning, thanks. This is Leisha.
Good morning, Leisha.
Good morning.
Yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. Good morning, Victory family. God bless you.
Hey, good morning, Brother Jeff.
Shout out,
y'all.
Good
morning,
Andrea.
Hey.
Good morning.
Happy Saturday.
Anybody else?
Good morning, Miss Gwyneth.
Good morning. Happy Saturday. Anyone else? Amen. And I'm going to say it real sweet and slow. And is today anyone's birthday?
I mean, it will be my birthday.
Happy birthday, Sister Dacia.
And Bernice.
Hey, Beverly and Bernice. Is it you guys' birthday? Good morning. Happy Saturday. Is it your birthday too? Or just a good morning?
Tomorrow.
I'm just tomorrow.
Trying.
Well, all right. Well, happy birthday. Happy early birthday.
Oh, wow. Double birthday to you guys. Happy birthday.
Hey.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Hey, birthday. Okay. Let me get. Come back. Okay. Are there any other birthdays? All right. Okay. Well, amen. Okay, well, we hope that you can join us for the next segment of the call, which is the Love, Life, and Victory discussion of the declaration from this morning. Thank you so much for calling in today, allowing me to greet and host you. Have an awesome, blessed day as I pass the call to Moni. Awesome sauce, sis.
Thank you. Well, I'm hoping that everyone was able to hear the message, and I'm hoping that I was able to reach somebody today to really understand the power that we have to pray for our children, an obligation that we have to pray for them. And I just wanted to open it up real quick to anyone who might have any kind of comments to share today about what I spoke about.
Hey, Molly, this is Tanya. Really quick before I go into this appointment, I just wanted you to know how much I enjoyed your share this morning. It was absolutely amazing. I wish I had had that information when I was raising my children, but it's not too late. I do thank God that I pray for them on a regular basis, but just some of the ideas that you shared with us, it was just amazing. And so I'm going to start to do those things with my grandchildren. All right, y'all. Love you.
Have a blessed day. See you.
Hey, good morning. It's Dee Dee Moni. Amazing. I'm with Tanya. The power of prayer for children, and it's just been my heart, just not just for my own children, but through the years, God has just placed other people's children in my life, like my nephew David. I have raised him since he was a baby. And just here recently, to the Spirit being so full to pray for just our children, not just mine and my, like, niece's kids and Tanya's, but just everybody's kid, because there's such a attack on our children. So I'm constantly waking up at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning and praying. And sometimes I can see their faces, different kids' faces. Just this morning, my youngest daughter's best friend, she texted me and she said, Auntie, she said, I need you to pray. Lives in Oakland, and she said, I guess some guy was around the area and going to different people's houses, and the police are looking for this guy because he was looking in her window, and she's like 21, and she's so fearful, but she knew that. She said her exact words were, Auntie, your prayers are powerful, and I'm fearful. Me and my mom are here, so could you pray? So I pray with her. And then my niece Simone, you guys know, just a couple weeks ago, she was in that horrific accident on the freeway, and the first thing she said was she called on Jesus. But I'm just saying this to say that it's important that we cover our kids, like Moni said. It's not, our prayers are powerful, and we have to be intercessors for them. We have to intercede for their lives, for their minds. We have to pray just for them to continue to believe in God, because that's another attack of the enemy. So many young people, like never before, are believing in things other than God. They're worshiping the sun and the rocks and the moon and the stars, because this world is trying to draw them away from the things of God. And it's our responsibility to save their lives. So, Moni, I love you, and I thank you for sharing this morning.
Thank you so much. That was good.
Hey, Moni. This is Brother Eric. I wanted to piggyback on what Dee Dee said. I think this time, like no other, is a grave time for our children, because of what she said. You know, I read a lot, and you know, me and my wife, we work in the school system here in Oakland, and even though we're in two different situations, we talk when we get home, and she just tells me about her situation about, like 80% of the staff and the teachers over there are homosexual in her school. And then, you know, not only that, you know, it's like when you go to the school, there's all of these murals, there's paganistic murals on the walls that are surrounding the school with Buddha and with various cultural gods. And then you have this technology that is constantly invasive into our kids' lives. You know, it's not that, you know, you can, you know, it's not even just the TV anymore or the computer. It's just actually even in the phones where the enemy has these direct lines into our kids, and that they're constantly on their phones. They're constantly looking at visual things, Lord, that just seeking to open, you know, the gateways into our children's lives to where spirits come through. Also, you know, we live in a time where church is not traditional like how it was, like when we grew up. Everybody went to church. You know, we're living in a time right now where we have generations that have never even been inside of a church, much less had the training and even know like some of the basic Bible stories. And where I work at in a high school, and the law has been passed now where now there's even a blending of the genders. And so now we're required. I'm just waiting for the signs now. It's not even a male and female bathroom now. That every bathroom has to be opened up to whoever wants to use it. And some of the bathrooms don't even have stalls. And so there's this mixing of the gender. There's this mixing of this and that. There's this error. There's this paganism and Satanism that is being allowed to be propagated in our school, to be worshipped, but Christianity is not being allowed in our schools, and is actively being fought against. So the battle for our children's minds and souls right now are at such a fever pitch, and I'm reminded of Revelation 12, when it talks about the woman and she's about to give birth And the dragon is there to come against and to kill the seed. And so your declaration was very, very on point, very pertinent right now, because we have to cover our seeds, because the enemy's right there, you know, right there. It is not at 10 and 11 and 12, okay? It's at 4 and 5, because right now, even in the schools now, there's legislation being passed to be able to teach our kids at the third grade and the second grade level, and even before that, things like we call it sodomy, you know, and things like same-sex marriages and same-sex sexual in graphic details, and legislation is now being passed for having that being taught in California schools. So it's very pertinent, Lord, that we not only pray, but that we teach our children actively. We can't depend on the Sunday school and the Sabbath school teachers. We have to homeschool our teachers in the way of the Bible and be examples, you know. Because if we teach our kids and then they see us act another way, we're telling our kids that we cannot be trusted, that we're just as hypocritical as the world. Now we'll lead them on to the world. So I want to thank you for your declaration.
Thank you, Eric. You're so right. Our jobs are so hard, so much harder these days than they were when we were younger. You didn't see very many people praying. There was probably one old grandmother sitting somewhere praying, and you probably only seen it once in your lives. And that wasn't really enough. We really, really needed more elders and adults praying for the children when we were younger, and we just didn't see it. But we have an opportunity now. God's trusting us to really, really vamp up and really get serious, because, like I said, the children are our future. They will be the ones who are creating the world in the future. And there are enough of us to pray for a lot of children around in our circle. There are enough of us. I saw the list that the post that I made on Facebook, just the list of the children that people have under their circle, that means they're responsible for them. We can do it. And God wants to get that message out to us, and then us share that message with others, so that this world can be a better place, starting with the children. It's hard because we're up against so many different things, like you guys said, so many, and everything's changing, but it's not too much for God. It's really not too much for God, and that's the most that we can do for Him, is to pray for the children, because they're our future. Does anybody else have anything to add?
Yeah.
Anything they'd like to share?
Good morning.
Yes, Brother Jeff.
You know, what Brother Eric just pointed out, I recognize is so true, that our children are being attacked by the enemy at the age of the cartoon level. My coworker, brought her daughter to work with her one day. So her daughter is in elementary, and she said that she wanted to be a cartoonist, and that her favorite cartoon was this cartoon where this little person, this character goes around, and he's a murderer in the cartoon. He's killing people. And I was like, wow. My heart just, it like pierced me in my gut, that our children are being attacked, even in their cartoons. But in your declaration, you mentioned fasting when we pray, and that touched me as well, because, you know, I haven't been fasting as much, but, you know, matter of fact, I didn't even participate in the beginning of the year like I normally do in the fasting. And it's very important, I know that it's very important that we fast during our prayers. Not on a regular basis, you know, and that just, I'm just glad you had that in your declaration this morning, because at certain times when I hear different messages, I begin to apply what I hear in different messages, and so I'm just thankful that I heard you point that out, that when we pray, that we should fast as well. So I just want to point that out, that, you know, our children are being attacked even in the cartoons. So as parents, we have to monitor and watch what our children watch, even their cartoons. That's all.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. The enemy is definitely seeping in at a younger age and seeping into the cartoons. He went right for the main thing. I remember being young. All we used to do was lay down, all of us, there were about 12 of us on the floor in the living room watching cartoons, you know, and the cartoons were so innocent back then. But like I said, the enemy has definitely stepped up his game, and he's going right to where we start in life through the cartoons. And fasting, you know, the verse in Matthew 6:16-18, you know, there is a reward for you for fasting, for us for fasting, as well as the Lord hearing what we're fasting for. So it's kind of a twofold kind of effect here. You know, there's a reward for you as well as who you're fasting for. So that's a promise right there to hold on to, and I thank God for that so much.
Hey, Moni.
Hey,
Bubbly.
Hi, Bubbly.
Okay. No, I heard somebody else made say something as well. I just want to thank you for your declaration, because it opened up a lot of reminders in me. But the part that when you said about praying for your children and the peers they have, you know, that was definitely not something I prayed for when my children were coming up, and it's just something to remind me to do. And now that I have the opportunity to have grandchildren, because, you know, we have another opportunity to, now that we know better, to do better. And that was real key, and it definitely gives me more insight to pray differently, strategically, and, you know, and in a whole new way. So I thank God for that. And I just had one question. Was it too late for me to add my children and grandchildren to the list?
Absolutely not. Okay. Absolutely not. Go right ahead. Thank you, Bethany. There was someone else, too.
Yeah.
Good morning, Moni. Who's that, Juliet, and then who else?
Barbara.
Okay, so we'll do Juliet and then Barbara.
Hey, Mommy, I know exactly where his son gets, you know, his wisdom from and his passion from listening to you. I enjoyed what you said about praying, and I just wanted to add something. Is, you know, praying for our children, but also praying with our children. I don't care if they're young or old. You know what I'm saying? If they're coming to my daughter, before she moved out, she's not in church or anything, but she would go to work. I asked her. First, it was a little awkward because, you know, sometimes she would get upset with me about, and, you know, something about God or whatever. And so I asked her, I said, when she walked in the door one day, I said, can I pray for you, pray with you? So she said, okay. So I started praying with her. And we started doing this little thing every morning. Till one day when I didn't do it, she was on the way out the door because I was still asleep. She went on and said, okay, I'm ready to go. And she said this little prayer and left, you know. And so, you know, I was thinking that that little thing was making an impact on her. And at first I started not to do it because I know how she felt. And my kids have been up and down, my kids as far as, and they always thought I was, you know, I was trying to talk about the Lord all the time and stuff like that, but it was like, I just felt this need because she was leaving early in the morning, she was pregnant, you know, to pray with her, and before I knew it, she was, you know, looking forward to it, and so I was saying that, you know, whether our kids are young or old, if they're in our household, I'm thinking they leave the house, that you just touch and agree, you know, just, and say, let me just pray over you, you know, let me pray with you, and see how God just begins to you know, make that transformation in their life. I've seen since we started that, that she has been making little changes to where she's talking more about God now. I didn't even have to bring the subject up. She'll start talking to me just by them, just those little small things. In addition to praying for her, I began to start praying with her, you know. And the kids walk out the door, especially that night, they got to go to a party. Hey, let me pray with you. You know, yeah, I just feel like, you know, because of the type of world we're in right now, you know. So I just wanted to put that out there, too. That we pray for them and pray with them, you know, as much as we can.
That's really that's really good, Juliet. Hang on a second, Barbara. I just wanted to add something to that, Juliet. You know, that reminds me of my brother. He just came to visit me 2 days ago, and he brought his fiance to meet me, and I knew it was serious because, you know, he brought her to meet me, and that's kind of scary, but he brings her to me excited. He's 38 years old, and he's finally going to settle down, finally going to stop the fast lane life and really, really settle down. So he brings her to meet me. And before he leaves, he says, sis, will you pray for us? Now, he's been back and forth and back and forth, you know, in the church and out of the church and just on the fast life, running the streets, trying to get it right. And for just for him to say that really shows me that seed planted long ago, God's word did not come back void. When he called my brother, He called him. And my prayers for my brother, I mean, I had tons of people praying for my brother through the years. It really, really does work. It really does work for the older ones as well. Go ahead, Barbara.
I've tried to get on mute. Thank you, Moni. Thank you for this morning. I actually overslept and kind of came in after you had already started, and I was like, Lord, have mercy. The reminder to pray with our kids, like Juliet said, no matter what their age is, that is so important. Just thank you for the reminder, you know, your declaration, the part I heard was excellent. I'm sure I'm going to go back and listen to it again. But you also have a very soothing voice. And I appreciate you. I really, really do. And God bless you and your children and your family. And just continue doing what you're doing. Be encouraged. God has a great work for you. I see you have a great work for all of us, but thank you so much. Thank you so much this morning.
Thank you, Miss Barbara. That means a lot to me. It really does. You mean a lot to me. Very inspiring to me. One thing that I wanted to add real quick to that is my I've been, you know, I got a 15-year-old daughter, and she, a lot of people don't know, but she listens to the prayer call every morning with me because I have it on speakerphone, and we're running around getting ready, and she knows all your names. She knows who does what, and she loves some of you, and you just don't know it, but she'll comment. She'll, like, bubbly. She just loves bubbly, and she smiles and laughs when she hears bubbly talk, and you know, and she knows everybody's name, but you guys don't know because I don't say anything. But see, the impact that the call alone is making on her, I'm trying to make her a prayer warrior, and it's coming, and I thank God for it. And the other day I asked her, "Will you pray for me? I got a situation. I really need prayer." And she said no, but that's okay because you know what? It's gonna happen, and I'm staying strong. And I know that that she's gonna come along and she's gonna start praying for me soon. I'm believing it. I'm claiming it, and I'm prophesying it that she will become a prayer warrior and she will pray for me soon, not later, sooner. And I'm believing it.
Yeah. Hey, hi, good morning. This is Alicia, and I just wanted to say good morning to everybody, and I'm so glad to be on the call. I haven't been on here for a couple of weeks, just busy with work and life, and I said I need to get on there because I know how impactful this call has been on my life as well as my daughter's life. And, you know, prayer with our children is so important, and teaching our children as what I've heard. Last night, one of my cousins, who is 17, starred in a play at Encinal High School and Junior High in Alameda, a sister act play, and she did phenomenal. And it's like the first black play that they've had in 20 years, and she did phenomenal. And I was so proud of her. And then at the end, at the finale, one of the cast members was a gay female. So her girlfriend runs to the stage and kisses her in front of everybody, a real passionate kiss. So I had my 8-year-old daughter with me, and she gasped like, "Oh, my God, Mom, what's happening? Why are they doing that? Ew." And so that became a teachable moment because I had to pull her to the side and let her know that that's not how we operate, because that's not what God has for us. But we can see what other people are doing and we can pray for them. But that's absolutely not how I want you to act. And so here was this phenomenal moment where we saw our cousin just really sing and dance and do wonderful, and then all of a sudden we have this other thing that didn't even coincide with the whole performance. It was just somebody's passion or however they felt. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. And then I was listening to the brother who spoke first about bathrooms going to be unisex now, and I'm like, oh, my God. And I'm like, I may need to take my daughter out of public school and figure out another way, because I absolutely do not want my daughter to have to use the bathroom with boys. And, you know, a lot of these boys and girls are into porn or whatever it is that they're in because they can see it on their phone real easy. I really don't want my daughter subjected to that, because I want to try to keep her as innocent as possible until she's even ready to be exposed to that. So I said all that to say this, that we never know what our child will be up against. So it's so important that me as a parent teach my daughter as we go and ahead of time, and to make sure that I'm a living example so my daughter can look to me and see how to act. And at least when she's faced with these things, she'll have a choice, and she'll also have the mindset that this is not how it's supposed to be, and I can follow my mother's example. So I'm like, wow, I really have to stay prayerful and mindful of what I'm doing, because the next generation is counting on us as saints. So I'm just real appreciative of this conversation. It has really opened my eyes. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I wanted to add to that, in the beginning of my message, I had mentioned that, you know, we really don't know the path that our children are going to take. We don't know what's going to happen. But one thing that we do know is that our God is bigger than all of this. He's bigger than that. And he knows what he's doing, and he knows what he's allowing, and he knows what he's not allowing, and he knows who he's trusting. And he obviously trusts us, the chosen generation, to pray against these things for the children that are attacking the children. We just have to remember and grasp it and understand that our God is bigger than that. And it is scary. It's scary. My daughter comes home with stories about, you know, the kids in her high school, and it is scary. But the only thing, the one and only thing that I can do, because again, we don't know what they're going to choose. We don't know how powerful our words are going to be to them. But that's okay, because we know how powerful our words are going to be to God, and that's all that matters.
Hey, Money, this is Tanya. Great share, and it just shows me where God has me right now in intercessory and standing in the gap right now, not only for my son and my family, but also for the seedless generation. You know, it's great that we pray for our kids and we keep our kids covered and we keep our household covered, but God is really showing me by actually being involved with intercessory prayer what's on the heart of God. And lately it's been not only our families and our kids, but it's also standing in the gap for the generation that's seedless. You know, the word says that the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers, you know what I mean? We have to stand in the gap with fasting and praying and interceding. And you know what? God has given us power and authority over the enemy. We just have to realize the times in which we're standing in right now to be that intercessor and intercede on behalf of not only our families, but the families out there, those kids who don't, like Brother Eric said, they don't even know church, they never even stepped into church, because what's in our children, God has that, and God's going to cover that, and God's going to honor what we planted in our kids. My concern now is these kids who don't know right from wrong, who don't know about Jesus, and as a believer, you know, it's our job to get on our knees and ask God, Lord, what is your will? And his will is that all men be saved. And he said in his word, if we lift up the name of Jesus, he's going to draw all men. So as believers, to stand in the gap and get on this wall and stop thinking about stuff and start picking up our Father's agenda and stand in the gap against darkness, not only for our kids, our family, but for our government. It's just because wickedness and darkness is running rampant, but we got the name of Jesus, the name above everything. Powerful, and he's given us the authority to stand on the enemy's head and trample him. And we just got to know who we are in Christ Jesus and get on my knees and turn down our plate and intercede for our kids and for these babies who don't know Christ. Because he didn't make hell for them. He made hell for the devil. But we got to get off of this stuff, because all this stuff is going to pass away, but the word of God is going to stand forever. So we have to think about those that are lost, who don't know Jesus, and pray for, and just pray, because prayer is powerful. It's time for the body of Christ to unite, the black churches, the white churches. It don't matter if it's one body. We got to come together, finally, as a body of Christ, and stand for Jesus, and we can defeat this, and we will win. He already won, but we got to come together. And I just thank God that he has me right now. This morning, I had to get up at 3 o'clock this morning. He's been having me do this and go to my intercessor's house, and we've been praying and praying. I'm so tired, but you know what? It's needed. He called us to do this, so I'm all in for Jesus. And if he says get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and go to my mentor's house and we pray and intercede, and that's what we got to do, because the time is needed for us to stand in the gap.
I just heard the mic drop.
Praise break.
Does anyone else want to go after that?
I had a comment, so I'll wait, though.
Go ahead, Liz. Anyone else?
You know, Moni. Okay.
Go ahead. Okay, who is that? Who is that?
I think that was Sister Carolyn.
Carolyn? Okay, yeah. So we'll go Eric, we'll go Carolyn first and then Eric next, okay? Okay, Eric?
Fine. That's fine.
Okay, so thank you. I got on the call late. I'm like, okay, get up now, get on here. And I'm like, and it would be you, Moni. My God. So that's good. I'll be able to go back in here. And when I first heard your son, Moses, I was like, oh yeah, this is her. So yeah. What do we expect? So praise God for the anointing on your life and how it is all the way down into the children. And even if you haven't seen it yet, but it's there. Praise God. Saying about children, praying with our children, I heard Juliet, and I'm like, oh, yeah. That so reminds me of how long I have been estranged, seeing like, for my daughter, Danielle. Danny, she was with this guy, and she was doing this, and she didn't even really want to talk to us. Oh, church? What? Oh, nah, not no church. And even I remember her talk about the universe. I'm like, oh, God, here we go. And then last year we got to a major, stumbling block because of how she was really coming at me. And I remember my mother saying, why don't y'all just have it out? I'm like, wow, Mom, have what out? So I just kind of backed up. I got some wisdom that I just couldn't take, which is to go ahead and let go. I'm like, what? I can never let go. And I began to back up some. God turned some stuff around. She put the guy out, Danielle, and I went over there, and I've been spending a lot of time with her sometime, and she had got to a point, she was like a little fearful of the guy, him showing back up, whatever. But anyway, I had a prayer with her. You know, this is somebody who really doesn't want to hear prayer, right? But I had got to a place, I had no other option last year. Like, I sing a lot, I was praying a lot, just quietly, always speaking to the Lord about the situation. He turned that thing, God turned that thing. Danielle was now back all in, right? And I was with her one day, and I said, well, let's pray. I was like, let's just go, let's just pray. And after I just went in and prayed, she was like, oh, I so needed that. Oh, I appreciate that. I'm like, look at God. But thank you for the reminder. I'm keep on doing that in her presence, whatever contact. Let's pray. Thank y'all.
Amen, Carolyn. Good for you. Praise God. God's counting on you.
Yes, and my keep son there. Every morning. Let me just say this last part. And my son, Silas, every day when I drop him at the bar or work, I pray with him for his day, for his peace in him. And sometimes the other person in the car don't want to hear that. I'm like, well, we gonna pray. Anyway, thank you.
Yeah. That's good, because God wants that other child, too. That's great. Praise God.
I will say this, and I say this to my sister Carolyn, and it's related to. First of all, I know, ever since I've known you, sister Carolyn, that you know, there's not an opportunity wherever at, wherever subject that we're praying for, that you don't include your family and your kids. And I know a little bit about your story, maybe a little bit more than other people on the line. But it goes with what I was saying. I remember, first of all, that as a child, you know, as they began to tell me that when I was born, you know, I was born addicted to heroin, and I was borderline fetal alcohol syndrome baby, and so I'm not even supposed to be here, you know, as they struggled to wean me off the dependency on drugs, and how my mama, my grandmother, who I call my mama, who raised me, how she prayed on me, and how everybody used to say there was a calling on my life. And, you know, I was born and raised up in a church, but I lived a kind of a double life. I was born and raised up in a church, but then, you know, I ran the streets of Brooklyn to as much as I was able to. And so, you know, my mother kind of recognized that, and so she surrounded me with you know, the church women and the church mothers. So I grew up in that atmosphere. But after I had my daughter, I left church for a while. You know, and I would come back and I would leave, and I would kind of, there was this dance. And I know the question on everybody's mind as they saw me grow up, they was like, well, when is Eric going to, you know, really finally settle down, and when is he going to, you know, fulfill that assignment that God has had on him, this calling that we've seen on him, you know, that God falls off with despair. And, you know, and I say that, you know, in light of what the sister that went on before us, that to encourage us that even in this time, God is, and our prayers are being deposited in the bank of heaven. And we may not see them right now. And Sister Carol, you may not see them right now, you know what I'm saying? But you pray so much for Silas and for little Ricky and for Danielle, and we all pray for our kids. They're deposited. And during that time that they're needed, that God will allow them to be withdrawn. And, you know, my grandmother never really lived to see me at the point I am now. You know, my mother never really got the chance to see this wonderful woman of God who I'm married with, and the position that I have now, that even now that I'm going. But, you know, I now know that, you know, in times of trouble, when even when I'm struggling now, that there have been prayers that have been deposited, that now I can even call on now that God has been faithful, because he heard it. He heard the cries of my mother and my grandmother, you know, and he hears our cries, you know, and we're responsible not for how our children turn out. We're responsible for the foundation. We're responsible to cover them in prayer. And like Moni said, you know, we can prophesy over our children. We can declare our children, and we can stand on faith that our children will be healed, that they will be made whole physically, that spiritually, that they will become saved. I see my generation now, the women and the men that I ran with in school and out there on the streets now, that when I hear them on Facebook, you know, we never talked about spiritual things, but, you know, I'm constantly amazed on how they touch on spiritual things and on their Facebook posts. And I know that that's not just because of where they came from. I know it's because of the parents of ours that went to church and that prayed for it, and that now it's beginning to be manifested in our area, you know. And it's so right now that we have to pray for our kids, you know, and we have to look at all of our children. I have to look at Moni's children as my children. Carolyn's children as my children. Pretty Patrice's children as my children. Barbara and so on and so on. Dee Dee's as our children, you know, and to pray. Even if we don't know our name, just Lord, lift up the children and to be assured that, you know, everything's going to be all right because God's word says so. In and that his promises are yea and amen, and that's final.
Amen.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
Amen. What a wonderful testimony. Thank you. Amen.
And if I just could add one more thing, Juliet. I'm just adding on to what my husband was saying. One thing that is very, in addition, and he said this earlier, and I even heard Monty say that about her children, what they started doing on Cedric, and that is we have to teach our children. We have to teach them the Word of God. As they rise up and as they lay down, as they walk to and fro, I know some of our children that are old, we can't do that for. That's where the prayer actually comes in, praying for them and praying with them as much as we can. But as far as when they're young, it's not too late to have that devotion time, you know, to spend that quality time and get into that Word as a family, you know. So when they get out into that world, which they're out to every day, you know, and they talk about evolution, they're talking about in school right now, you know, they have the backing to stand for what they believe, you know, not the hearsay, but the fact that they've read it for themselves. They studied it for themselves, you know, because it seems like the majority rules, but, you know, with God, all things are possible, and with God, we know that we win. But if they don't know that, if they're not being taught that, then, you know, it will appear that the world is winning. So that's what I want to just add to that.
That's really good, you know. Like I was saying, you know, the children around us in our circle are around us for a reason. They're under our umbrella. We're responsible to pray for them. God is really trusting us. They're not just there just to fill the seat. They're not just there just to exist. They're there for us to pray them through life. And pray for the generations to come for them, to come from them, you know, and pray for that, the future generations. And even if that was the only job we had on this earth was to do, and then we're gone tomorrow, we want to be found faithful that we did it, that we prayed, even though we didn't know, and even though we got tired, we still prayed. We prayed till our knees bled. That's what we should be. We should be bragging about that, praying. Praying till our knees are bled.
Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yes, go ahead.
Praying is effective, and we know that. And God said to pray without ceasing. But I think what helps, and I learned this as a young mother, and to have a conversation, we need to communicate with our babies, too, because we can pray and pray and pray, but if our hearts aren't positioned, if our children are not open and they don't feel like they have a, you know, like they can come to us, that's another area that I think we need to work on. I won't say, you know, that I have the perfect kids because they all, you know, it's been a lot of prayer and it's been a lot of communicating, and I give all glory to God, but I use my oldest son as my kind of gauge, because I used to really beat myself up because as, you know, a single mother, and I really felt like a gypsy for years because it seemed like once we would get to one location and they get situated, well, it's time to move again. So I just said, Lord, my baby, especially my son, he's going to be so messed up because once he gets to one school, you know, they make friends and they get a routine, he gets put on a team, got to up and move. And I'm not talking about around the corner. I'm talking about to a whole other city. And so I was like, God, help me. But what has happened was even as young as 7, I think Armani was 7 when their father and I divorced or whatever, but I was taking them to church, and I started really getting into my church that I'm still a member of and taking classes, and they were going into children's church and learning the Bible and applying it, and even times when I didn't feel like it, didn't seem like all 3 of them had lost their minds, and I didn't think they even remembered God or the Bible, but now as a 27-year-old man, the things that he's gone through, going away to school, and he went to Oregon, and some of y'all know what that means. You big 6'4" or taller black kid with a mustache at 3 years old. So he had a lot of racial experiences and stuff, and there was a point that because of the classes he was taking and some things that happened, he questioned if God was real. But I'm grateful that the foundation was
upset and that he remembered what he had been taught. And so even now we have conversation, even in his music, even though, you know, some of the language that he uses right now is kind of like, okay, praying for him because he's still giving God the praise. And for some people, they don't get it. They, oh, no, that's not whatever. But I'm telling you, when I hear my son talk about how he detests and rebukes Satan and how God, he's giving God praise through it, and he said when God showed up in the mirror, he now knows who he is. So it's like he went through what he went through, but God never took his, he stayed in God. You know what I mean? He stayed with God. He didn't let go because God didn't let go of him. But I'm just saying, don't give up, but communicate with your kids, because now, even with my girls and my nieces and nephews, they will talk to me about God, and they will ask for prayer, and they'll ask, you know, if the situation that's going on in their lives, they know because they've heard it. They may not, you know where it is, but they know they've heard it. And so it's just very important to, so your kids can say, hey, Mom or Dad, this is what's going on. And sometimes some of the things that they come to me with, I'm like, oof, but I'm glad they're coming to me and not to the streets. Because like it was said earlier, in these schools and stuff, even yesterday, I saw a young man, he had to be 23, and I had to do, I didn't stare him down like, ooh, in disgust, but I was looking at him, and I prayed for him, because the baby had on some shorts, and he had on some socks that had little weed plants, marijuana plants on his socks, and when I tell y'all, he turned around, and his eyelashes were popped out. I kid you not. He had on the longest fake eyelashes I've ever seen, and was all okay, and you know what I mean? So I just began to pray, because he didn't seem comfortable. It just seemed like something else was going on. So we got to really just be open and you know, able to just communicate and just be there. If anybody is having a, you know, kids aren't comfortable with sharing with you for whatever, try to work that part out. So get them to a place where they'll come share with you what's going on, then go to the Word with them. Just have a conversation. Sometimes you just need to have a conversation with your kids. That's it. Thank you, Mommy.
That's so good. That really is your story of your firstborn is very similar to mine and my firstborn Moses. You know, he saw, and we were sleeping in cars, and you know, I was an addict, and he saw the before and after. Sometimes seeing the before and after really impacts the child. He's definitely very the closest to God right now. He did experience a lot of suffering, and he put up with me and took care of me, you know, when I was in my addiction, and he stood by my side, and then he saw the transformation, and then he saw the change, and then he saw the Lord. So he was able to see both sides of the fence, you know, both sides of my world, and he's definitely a survivor as well as I was, as I am, you know. And so, and it, you're so right when you say, you know, get the Word in them. We have to get the Word in them as well. Get the Word in them. So, anyone else before we close in prayer?
Moni, this is Bernice, and I've been listening I've been listening to what it was an awesome declaration that you gave this morning, and very timely, and all of the things that are happening in the world with our children. And one of the things that I've been hearing through this entire this morning is that we need to intercede, we need to pray for our children, and we need to make sure that we stay on our knees, and that we need to be diligent in the things that we say and that we do. I too am I teach fourth and fifth grade, and one of the things that I know is that our children are being impacted, as someone said, by the worldly things. They are candy in their eyes. It is things that they're seeing that they want to do because it looks good, but they know not what happens is at the end result, what the bottom line is. In intercessory prayer, we know that we have to pray. But the other thing that is powerful, I believe, is the anointing that each one of us on this line has.
And the Bible says to go ye therefore into all the world and preach and to teach. And I believe, truly believe, that not only with intercessory prayer do we not only need to have intercessory prayer, but our presence. That when we go, that the light of God will shine upon us. And then deliverance will come. But if we're staying inside our homes and inside of the churches and we're not going out into the world and letting people see us, then we only have certain amount of things, the only thing that we can do. We don't have the power that we can have to impact this world. Our presence needs to be made known. We have the schools. The schools are allowing cold bathrooms, but they're not allowing prayer. That's because there's not enough presence in the school. There's not enough presence on the streets. I remember growing up, and I remember there being so many people, they would be on the streets and they would be preaching, and we don't see it like we used to see it. And so I just wanted to say thank you so much for everything that you've said, for what everybody has said, and everything that everybody has said is so meaningful. It means so much, and it is powerful. The thing that we need to do now with intercessory prayer is have presence.
Amen.
Amen. Tanya again. Uh-huh. You know, I don't know, I'm getting dressed, and I just remember when I was growing up, you know, and we say this a lot, that it takes a village to raise a child, right? And I remember growing up that if there was a need, or if a child needed, if a child in a household didn't have a stepfather or a mother, the community would pick up the slack for that mom or that dad, and we would just help one another. But we did that out of love. You know what I mean? It was love. We loved our neighbor. It was love. And so and the love of Christ, you know, we like she said, it's not being seen. I agree with her. Growing up in East Oakland, you've seen people on the corners everywhere preaching the gospel. Man, you know what I mean? And we used to call them crazy, but they were out there, and we were hearing the word. And so I just think if we just, sometimes you got to go back to basics. You know what I mean? Go back to what were given to us. It's like the more you know, the more you owe. And so we've gotten lukewarm a little bit, and I include myself on that. We've got to get out there. And I think sometimes fear kind of cripples us for not wanting to say something to someone because it's not politically correct. But you know what? Politics and our politicians aren't correct. So we can get out there, too, and declare Jesus' name. But thank you for this. The conversation and knowing the importance of covering, not just our own, but just covering those that are in need. Like the girl who kissed her girlfriend on the stage. I'm going to pray for her. I don't know her, but I can pray for her. I can pray that she has an encounter with Jesus because she doesn't know. She may not know. You know what I mean? So we need to be that light that shines in darkness and not beat people up on the head, but just show them the love. The love. He said, with love and kindness, he will draw them. So we need to be different than the world is. We need to display the love of Christ to draw them in. Because right now, you can't really tell which is which a little bit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But thank you for opening up this because the discussion is awesome. I'm loving it. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you, birthday girl. Well, birthday girl, you and your sister.
You're welcome.
Really.
Hey, Mom.
Birthday.
I've been in and out a little bit on the call. This was your first declaration, right?
Second, but the first one was a long time ago.
Oh, well, yes. Well, yay. great job. Excellent, excellent. I mean, I don't have a whole lot to say because I'm not a parent, but sometimes I feel like I am to the extent of how God just places, you know, my nephew and my nieces and on my heart and your children, all of your children, and how we've come to love one another. And like Brother Eric was saying, we have the responsibility to pray for and cover all of them, especially when God brings things to our attention. And we're made aware of those things, and we are called to intercede. For those of you that don't know, and I don't know if any one of the women have already mentioned this, but on the Thursday night call, we're reading the battle plan for prayer, and it came from the movie of War Room, and it's from basic training to targeted strategies. And in the chapters we just finished, the last three chapters, and they're really short, and I would recommend this book to anyone. It's an excellent book, and I'm sure other women on the call could testify to this. It's one of us praying preemptively, praying defensively, and last Thursday was praying extraordinarily. Or extraordinarily or extraordinarily. And that one, the scripture that started off was that I sought the Lord in my day of trouble. My hands were continually lifted up all night long, and that's Psalm 77:2. And it talks about prayer strategies of how we have to have extraordinary prayers when extraordinary measures are required. And it talked about corporate prayer, it talked about fasting, and then it talked about that fervent prayer. And we know how that fervent, effectual prayer availeth much. That's of the righteous person. And it talked about how we have desperate situations, and they call for desperate prayers. I mean, I think you were talking about this earlier, being on your knees, and when you don't know where your child is in the middle of the night, or they've been gone, or whatever it is, or you know that God woke you up because they're in danger. Ooh, that got all right. The only thing you can do is pray and cry out and call out. And speaking for the angels that have been dispatched to protect them, and that God would keep them and cover them. And oftentimes we speak at them and not to them, but covering them in prayer in the heavenlies, sending up continually and not letting up until we see that deliverance, because we believe the promise that you and your household shall be saved. So I think it's amazing. Thank you for just bringing this to our attention. But that book is super good. It really is a great book if anybody wants to get it. And I think, Juliet, if you can tell them that site you said where that book is only like $3, it's available. And when it talks about how to pray strategically, it has some excellent information in there. So thank you, Moni. Appreciate it. Love you.
And thank you, Lisa. Wow, that was great. Yes, please. Find a way to post that in the Victory Room. That's definitely something that's needed by all of us. Praise God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Moni. This is Trina.
Good morning.
Great decoration. I want to share right quick. Me, myself, as part of my children very young, is praying. I pray with them every morning, especially when they go out of the house. And also when they would actually take them to school, for elementary all the way up to high school, we pray in the car. I even let them take turns and pray. And what happened recently with my oldest son, since I've been training them how to pray, he called out to me and said, he was like a real cry, saying that he didn't ask for prayer, but he was a cry that he needs prayer because he was about to do something wrong, very wrong, and he might have taken his knife or even in jail. And I prayed right away. And this particular son, I prayed him through over 11 years ago. And I shared this before, that his life was spared from a car accident. He's supposed to have been dead. And the reason why also, too, I called for help on Facebook, it says, and I'm going to read this to you, it says, you may be mighty in prayer alone, but you can be mightier with someone joining you. The Bible says that one would put 1,000 to flight, but two would put 10,000 to flight. And
So I just wanted to share that and how the prayer worked. And I just want to thank again everyone that called out my son, Timothy. He's doing well. God bless you all.
Amen. Amen. I'm glad to hear that. And I love that verse you just said. It's amazing. I love it. Thank you, Tarina. Is there, any, is there anyone else?
Sister Carolyn, I have one more comment.
Oh,
I just want to thank you and everybody, you know, for the focus, the refocus, the reminder to continue to pray for our children, and also the comment by Juliet and Dee Dee in terms of praying with them or the relationship, staying available to them right now. Thank you so much.
Amen. 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 So if there would be no one else, I'd like to close us in prayer. Okay. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for this morning. Thank you, God, for being here with us. Thank you, God, for listening to us. Thank you, God, for... Thank you that we could... That we know that we have that blessed assurance that you hear our prayers. And the message today was something that you needed us to hear, because you need us to stand up like soldiers and be called to action and to really get serious about praying for our children. God, I lift up every single one of those children's names that were listed on Facebook under my comment. You know each and every one of them. You saw each and every one of those comments. You are reading each and every one of their names, God. I'm lifting them up to you right now, to the foot of your throne, and I'm praying like David did. And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, keep thy testimonies, and thy statutes. God, we insert each of those children's names into that prayer right now, God. And we're trusting and believing that you're going to transform each and every one of their hearts, that they're going to be apples of your eyes, and that you are going to use them to further your kingdom, Father God, because of our prayers for them. And we thank you right now ahead of time. We're declaring and we're decreeing that they will walk all the days of their life in your goodness, and that they will be empowered to transform not only their own lives, but other people's lives around them, because we've simply lifted them up to the foot of your throne and have offered you to have your way in these children. God, let us be reminded throughout the day that you want to hear from us, that you want to hear our prayers. You don't want us to stop and pray for one thing and just keep praying for that one thing over and over, because then it becomes like a broken record to you. You want us to say it all from A to Z, to take advantage of the opportunity that we have. God, let us remember that today, to take advantage of every single thing we want to ask for the children around us and that are in our circle that you have entrusted us with. Let us remember that you need our prayers the same way that we need you. You need our prayers. God, let us remember all the tools that I mentioned today, and let us remember the promises that are behind them. God, let us walk with the kingdom mentality today and know that we're favored and know that you're the power behind us. And if you're for us, who could be against us? Nobody. Nobody. Let us walk in that today, Father God. I thank you. I love you so much for handpicking each and every one of us on this call, and for handpicking each and every child that belongs to us on this call. Thank you, Father God. I thank you so much for your grace, for your mercy, for your love, And I, most importantly, I thank you that we reside in the palm of your hands every single minute of the day. I thank you that. Thank you for that, Father God. We give you all the glory right now. And I thank you for this reminder today. We receive it. We receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.
Amen.
Have a great day.
Bye.
Peace and blessings, y'all. Have an awesome day.
Have a good day, everyone.
Love you guys.
God bless you guys.
Have a blessed
day,
everyone.
Be blessed and encouraged.
All right.
Peace and blessings.